Everybody, good Chodesh. Mishnichas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. It's a very auspicious day as we are now 2 weeks before Purim. And obviously we should certainly take advantage of the next 2 weeks and really prepare ourselves for the great day of Purim. So I saw this morning on Leino Shabbach on the Pasuk, Perek Mem, Pasuk Beis, discusses the Hakomas of Mishkan. So it says, B'yom HaChodesh HaRishon B'Echad HaChodesh Talkim Es Mishkan Ol Moed. So, the Medrash tells us the following line. The Medrash says that Hashem commanded the Jews to Bnei Yisrael to build the Mishkan. So they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are you going to remember the Avera of the Chet HaEgel? Are you going to remember the Avera of the Chet HaEgel? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. Eshkach Lechem Zos. I'm going to forget the Avera of the Chet HaEgel. So then they said, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're going to forget about the Egel, maybe you're also going to forget about Nasa V'Nishma, that we accepted the Torah. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no, that I'll remember. So Rabbi Yitzchak of Berditchev asks a question in Mata Levi, Sefer Mata Levi, he says, I don't understand. We know Ein Shichal Fei Kisei Kodecha, as we say in Rosh Hashanah and Zichronos. So Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't forget anything. So how could it be that the Jewish people had a Hava Mina? How could it be they would think that he would forget Maimon Har Sinai? We understand that because he loves Klal Yisrael, he's going to forget Chet HaEgel. But what was the Hava Mina that Kodesh Baruch Hu would forget Nasim Nishma, Maimon Har Sinai? So the O of Yisrael gives a beautiful answer. He says as follows. He says that the thought was that where did the Nasim the Nishma emanate from? It could be that the Jewish people, Bnei Yisrael, when they accepted the Torah, was just because it was by rote. It was because they had a tradition. Their grandparents, their ancestors, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, instilled them a certain level of acceptance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it wasn't internalized. It wasn't them. It wasn't them saying Nasa Nishma. It was because it was passed down when you leave Mitzrayim, you go to the Midbar, accept the Torah, but it wasn't personal. Only when the Bnei Yisrael made a mistake and messed up and did the Chet HaEgel was it obvious that the Jewish people said Nasa Nishma on their own. Meaning, if they were capable of sinning with the Chet HaEgel, it must be that they were not on autopilot anymore. They were actually living themselves. And says the Ovi, so that's the pshat. The pshat is that they said, listen, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to forget Chet HaEgel, but the Chet HaEgel basically enhanced the Nasa V'Nishma. It showed that they were not an autopilot when they had just said Nasa V'Nishma 40 days earlier, right? And therefore, when Hashem said, I'm going to forget the Chet HaEgel, the Jewish people were nervous. Maybe he's going to forget that the Nasa V'Nishma is also personal. So that Hashem, no. Hashem said, I'm not going to forget. I'm not going to look at the Nasa V'Nishma as if it was by rote, as if you just it was handed down to you. But on the contrary, I will still remember that the Nasa V'Nishma was personal, that it came from you. So I thought that's a beautiful idea. What we're really saying is that one of our milas is that we go ahead and we personalize our avodas Hashem. It's not the reason why we follow Torah mitzvah is not because we happen to be born in the Jewish community. We happen to be born into an observant family. So the reason why I go to shul on Shabbos, the reason why I keep Shabbos, the reason why I eat kosher, the reason why I learn is because, hey, I was born in an observant family and I was sent to, you know, Jewish day school and that's it. No, that's not what we have to do. Our goal is to personalize our avodas Hashem and have a real relationship with Kodesh, to Hashem, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, I think, is one of the greatest privileges, one of the greatest milas of this year in Eretz Yisrael. You're on your own, you're here in your yeshiva, and you're growing as an individual. And that's what Bnei Yisrael didn't want, according to this pshat in the O of Yisrael, which is so beautiful. What Bnei Yisrael were saying is, don't forget the Nasa V'Nishma. Because it was clear that the Nasa V'Nishma, after the Chet HaEgel, it was clear the Nasa V'Nishma was quite personal. And I think I want to tie this in to a shir I heard yesterday from Daniel Kalish from Waterbury, Kalish Shlita. He said an amazing thing. He said a question that really bothered him, he said, for many, many years. And he sowed. So there are two Yisodas. Yisod number one is that what was the great nace that Esther was able to go into Achashverosh? Was not she his wife? I mean, what was the great nace? Just going to the king. Doesn't make any sense. And the second question was why did Mordechai send Esther to go in right away? Right, we know that she went in around Nisan time. Right, it was, they fasted around the Leil HaSeder. The Gezerah to kill the Jews was 11 months later. Just, and we don't think that if she's the queen, she's going to be called in to Achashverosh one time between then and 11 months, and then she'll ask for Achashverosh to save her nation. So to answer the first question, based on Tanakh, the times that were going on, kings, monarchies, kings were most nervous about the people closest to them. even somebody's wife, and certainly there were stories about in Tanakh about brothers killing each other. They were very, very paranoid and nervous about anybody getting close to the king. Memela, no matter who it was, it could have been the wife of the king. If somebody came to the king without permission, there was a chashash, they were going to try to kill the king, and the person got killed right away. And that's the pshat. So for Esther to go to Ahasuerus without being asked was basically a death sentence. Basically a death sentence. And that's why it was a tremendous nace that she decided to go, and obviously she fasted for 3 days. And to answer the second question is, why didn't they wait? The pshat is unbelievable. If she would have been called to Ahasuerus, and Ahasuerus should have said, oh, you know, Shalom Aleichem, how are you doing? And right away, and she would say, oh, you know, oh, by the way, can you save my nation? My nation is supposed to be killed in about, you know, in a few months from now, whenever she would have been called in. So it wouldn't have the same level of power. It wouldn't be a compelling request. Why? Oh, Ahasuerus would say, I called you in, you're coming here now, Derech Agav, Toch Kidei, you're mentioning the fact you want to save your nation. That doesn't show any, it doesn't show any value to the request. But if she is Moser Nefesh, and she comes when she's not called, and she begs for her nation to be spared and to be saved, so that shows a greater value, she's placing greater value in that Hatzalah, in that salvation. And the Yisod is tremendous. When a person, obviously it's all related to Moser Nefesh, but this really permeates all aspects of life. When a person shows a Kadosh Baruch Hu that I'm serving you, not when it's easy, not when it's convenient, but dafka when it's hard, when there's a chiddush involved, I'm going to go out of my comfort zone, and I'm going to push myself. That shows greater value to what you're doing. That shows greater value to your mission. Also, and I think it's also in this world, right? If a person wants to get a business deal, and he takes it, and he's lackadaisical about it, and he's not serious about it. Again, obviously, you have to understand how this relates to Emunah and Bitachon. But when you're trying to show somebody you care about something, so you have to go all out. You got to go to tremendous lengths. When you show somebody, even in a personal relationship, you go out of your way for a spouse, you go out of your way for Mr. Shem at the right time, you go out of your way for your family, you go out of your way for your friends. When you show that you're going out of your way for them, it means so much more. And that's the pshat. That's why Mordechai sent Esther, even when it was dangerous, so early, even though she could have waited till she was called in, to show Ahasuerus that she means business. It's very serious to her. And it means a lot to her. And I think this ties in beautifully with what we're saying. Klal Yisrael has to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're saying Nasav Nishma, not because we happen to be the grandchildren of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. No. We're saying Nasav Nishma because we appreciate the fact that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saved us from Mitzrayim. You took us out of Mitzrayim. You showed us the miracles. And we want to have a personal relationship with you. And I think that's something that going into Purim, we all have to do that. We see the tremendous Purim story. Tremendous. But the next step has to be that we have to apply it to our own lives. We have to say, I have a personal relationship with Hashem. I have a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I value the nisim that he does for me on a personal level. I woke up this morning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you. Woke me up this morning. Modani lefunecha, melechai v'kayim. I want to daven, not because I grew up in an observant home and I was told to daven. No, I want to daven because I want to daven. I want to have a relationship with you. Show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we value the relationship with Him. Talk to Hashem. Actually, maybe I should have said this word last week, and I keep on meaning to say this over, but to send out these two stories. But last week, two alumni, one spoke to me, one sent me a text message about personal Hashgacha Pratis stories. Actually, a few years, last year, I tried to make like a WhatsApp group with Hashgacha Pratis stories. It didn't go so well, but maybe this will be his orders to do that. So one student said to me that he's in college, and he was given an assignment, and for 2 days he struggled with this assignment, he couldn't do it, and it was Friday morning, and he damned to Hashem, I want to enjoy my Shabbos, and I won't be able to enjoy my Shabbos with this assignment hanging over my head. And right after he davened, he got an email from the teacher that clarified the assignment, and it was much, much easier than he thought. He thought this is a tremendous story of Hashgacha Pratis, and Koach HaTfila. When a person lives like that, so then it has a greater value and greater power. And the next story, which is a little bit longer, was another student who's in dental school, and he said to me, and I was in contact with him when part of this story was happening, he said that basically to graduate dental school, you need to have a certain amount of extractions, which means that you need to extract a certain amount of teeth in the clinic of patients. And obviously, I think the most appropriate time to do extractions is when you're on the oral surgery rotation. So he was on an oral surgery rotation, and like I guess it was a Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Those were the times that he had. And on Monday, and on Tuesday, it sounded like he didn't give me all the details, but it sounds like he messed up with the patient, and it was a very humbling experience. He didn't tell me all the details, but I could just imagine that somebody yelled at him and said, you know, you didn't do a good job, and it was very humbling. He was very upset about it. And he said to me, it was a tremendously humbling experience, and he too decided he's going to daven to Hashem. Hashem had such a terrible week. It was so hard for him. It was really humbling. And, you know, he asked for siyata d'shmaya. I think he also asked, if I'm not mistaken, you know, I want to have a good Shabbos. Please just help me. And on Friday morning at 11:30, he was almost getting ready for lunch and said, somebody said, oh, there's a patient coming. You know, would you be interested in taking this patient? Now, since he felt like he had to prove himself because he made a mistake on Tuesday, and since he needed more extractions, I think, I'm not sure, even sure that was the main nekuda. I think the main nekuda was he wanted to prove himself. He decided, you know, let me go check out this patient in the clinic. And he told me that everybody knows that if somebody's coming into the clinic, the chance of them needing one extraction is high. Two extractions is almost impossible. Nobody comes into the clinic, emergency clinic, needing two extractions. It's not possible. And this woman comes in, and guess what? She needs 10 extractions. 10. Which is like unheard of. She, unfortunately, she's bipolar, a lot of issues, and it wasn't even a suffix that you had to pull the teeth. So he's, and then so he after lunch, you know, and after lunch, he did all 10 extractions and everything went well. The following week, he found out that whatever he did during the week, which he thought he messed up, and somebody, I guess, told him he messed up, the superior told him that he actually did a good job. He did a good job. So I said to him, I said, wow, what amazing Hashkacha brought this. And he said he never would have taken the Friday case had he not felt he had to prove himself from Tuesday. And it reminded me, Rami Biederman recently said, we know that Kol Da'avad Rachman Olo Tava Avad, everything Hashem does is for the best. But people say that if you say everything is for the best, if you say, oh, this is Gamzul Tova, this is for the best, then you actually come to realize that. And he realized that had he not had the mess up, or the supposed mess up on Tuesday, he never would have felt the need to prove himself. He never would have davened hard, number one. And number two, he never would have felt the need to prove himself to take the extra patient on Friday. So mamash the story of Hashkacha Pratis and the story of the power of Tefillah, which relates to this sod. Of course, Esther Hamalcha, and also another thing, Mordechai said to her, Mordechai didn't say, oh, we need you. Right? That wasn't Mordechai's approach. Mordechai's approach was to Esther, this is your opportunity to shine. If you don't take this opportunity, we'll find somebody else. That's the Yisod in life. The Yisod in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives each and every one of us opportunities to shine. And that's what Esther did, and she took, and that's why it was the most opportune time for her to go ahead and to approach Achashverosh, and that was her opportunity to earn her stripes, and we all have that opportunity in life. And similar to Bnei Yisrael, who showed that it's not about, we're not living by rote. We're developing a personal relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and I think that everybody here is certainly on their way in doing that, and you should just continue doing that as well. Let me just say one more thing. There's a famous medrash that I'm sure everybody's heard, and last week I had this close to opening a new sefer. It's called Esh Tamid, from Yisrael Meir Druk Shlita, who actually once graced this base medrash. If you want, when he spoke here for Achlas Sefer Torah, he spoke beautifully about David HaMelech and Kavadat Torah. He's amazing things. So he says, everybody knows this famous medrash, and I'll tell you the point that I want to bring out from this medrash, and the so that he says in the first piece in his sefer that just came out on Purim. Famous medrash in the Chayyusar. It says, "Rikiva Hayoyishiv Doresh Ratzibur Misnanim Vikesh La'iran." Right, Rikiva is giving shir. Right, similar to the Rebbeim and the Sashiva who often speak about the fact that their shiurim are better than a soporific. Right, sleeping pills. I guess the Rav of Yeshiva who speaks about this is in good company. Rav Kiva also apparently had a similar issue. It sounded like the Talmidim were dozing off. So what did he do to wake them up? Omar, ma rosa esher shetimuchal sheva esrim medina. Right, what was the pshat? Why did Esther have the merit to rule over 127 medinas? Right? What's the pshat? Says Rikiva, the reason why Esther was zochet to rule over 127 provinces was because Sarah lived for 127 years. Okay, it's very nice measures, beautiful measures. First of all, I think the main point that Rav Jerkel is making is what's the connection between the Talmidim dozing off and saying over this unbelievable medrash. Says of Druk an amazing thing. He says like this. He says, because Sarah, we know that all of her days, all of her years, all 127 years, were cool and shavim l'tayva, they're all great. She took advantage of every day, of every year. obviously she took advantage of every year. What did she do? She took advantage of every day. She took advantage of every minute. So for every day that she took advantage of, she was zochet to a different neighborhood. And every month that she took advantage of, she was zochet to another city. The fact is that her years were full of doing great things. So because she took advantage of every day, every month, every year, Mamela, she was zochet to her granddaughter was zochet to 127 medinos. Meaning that if you take advantage of your time, you will be rewarded. And that's the pshat. Why did Rabbi Akiva use this medrash, use this memra to wake them up? He's trying to tell them, you guys are shluffing. You're shluffing. You're wasting your time. You should be like Sarah Imenu. Sarah Imenu took advantage of her time. You know what happened? Years later, her great-great-great-great-granddaughter, Esther, was zeichet to 127 medinos. And I think the message is very clear. It also relates to the first part of the discussion. And that is, a person has to take advantage of his time. Take advantage of opportunities. And I can't begin to tell you, Rabbi Schneider mentioned it before, Purim is, you know, Yom Kippur and Purim is huge. Mamish huge. People can reach the highest heights on Purim. Not a joke. We're not talking about just stop getting drunk. Obviously, that is part of it. Obviously, it breaks down the mechitzah. There's no question about it. But the emes is that we know everything in our hapuchu. And this is the Afghan Golos. Everything's about Purim. Right? Everything's about Purim. Everything comes from Purim, mamish. And you think about what's going on in the world, you hear all these stories about what's going on in Congress and anti-Semitism in the world. It's poshut noyer v'oyim. But we know one thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Mamish is there. We hear Hashgacha Pratis stories from Talmudim. You hear Hashgacha Pratis stories from yourself. We're alive, we're here. Klai Yisrael is here. We've been around for thousands of years. We have nothing to worry about. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has our back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam. He created the world. He's HaYahovah V'yah. We have nothing to worry about. We need to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Take advantage of these 2 weeks. Don't waste time. Don't waste time. You go ahead and you take advantage of the next 2 weeks and you go into Purim and Ahai Madrega. Rabbi Yisai, in the Purim story, they thought they were done. Mamish. Okay, it wasn't Bidam, but it was Betit, right? We know that Klai Yisrael was dead. They were going to be killed. And we're talking about Achashverosh and Haman. They ran the world. Right? It's not like some random dude saying, oh, we're going to hurt the Jews. They ran the world. And even so, that was it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, over 9 years, took us out of that tzara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out of any tzara. Right? We cannot forget that. And we have to take advantage of the next 2 weeks and work on ourselves as individuals, as a nation, and Mom is going to Purim on a very, very high madriga, and then we'll be zoicha to our siyat d'shmaya in our lives, and then we'll be zoicha to be mashpia on the world, and bring the Gula Shema. Have a great Shabbos.